Isaiah chapter number 9, we're going to read one verse together from the King James Bible, verse number 16. Isaiah 9 and verse number 16. When you have it, let's all read together, shall we? For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Let's read it one more time, shall we? For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. 2 weeks ago, I preached a sermon on Greeks are cursed. We got rid of most of the Greeks since then. Last week, I preached the Jews are cursed, and we got rid of all the Jews last week. I don't know if we have any Jews left in church now. This morning, though, we're going to thin the crowds because the title of my sermon this morning is The Blacks Are Cursed. So before you get upset and before you jump to a false conclusion, I want you to sit still, sit patiently, and listen what God says in the Word of God. And you'll find out why the black race is cursed by God. Dear God, thank you again for loving us, for being such a wonderful God. Thank you for your mercy. Lord, you promised to turn the curse into a blessing, whether we're Greek, Jew, or black, whether we're Gentile or Jew, whether we're lost or not, you have promised, if we're willing, to turn the curse into a blessing. And you have. We've seen it before. You continue to do that. And we thank you, Lord, for the folks who have been saved this week and the folks that are here and the way you've worked in the hearts and lives of people, regardless of their background, regardless of their ethnicity. But dear God, help us to pay attention this morning on this truth that is so void in America, in the American discourse today. It's so taken out of place or taken out completely that everybody's afraid or intimidated even to speak on this subject. Something that used to be preached about or taught about for 1,800, 2,000 years. Now, dear God, please help us to remain calm. Help us to pay attention. Help us to read the Word of God this morning exactly as it is written. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Psalm 119, verse 165, the Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing. So even though you're Greek and you know what God says about the Greeks are being cursed, it shouldn't offend you if you love the Word of God. If you're a Jew and you're saved and you love the Word of God, there's nothing in the Word of God that would offend you when you find out that God has cursed the people of Israel because he said, let his blood be upon us and upon our children. Yet I still believe that God's chosen people, as we said Sunday night and Wednesday night, regardless, they're cursed of God. Well, the same verse in Psalm 119, verse 165, applies to black people and everyone. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Our church has not shied away from controversial subjects, as I'm sure this is going to be a controversial subject in the eyes of many people. But if you've been coming to this church for 20 or 30 years, you know that one of the emphasis on our church is to reach poor people. If our church hated poor people, you wouldn't be here this morning. If our church hated black people, you wouldn't be here this morning. As a matter of fact, the very first Sunday night service, maybe Sunday morning, I just can't remember now, it's been 32 years, the very first Sunday that we ever had church at the Boys Club in 1987, Magnolia Wilson came strolling in, tall, 6'2", maybe 6'3", black woman, hat on her head, purse on her arm, long dress and skirt all the time. Her nylon always rolled down to her ankles, you know. She was in her 80s plus, and she loved church, man. She loved preaching. So I remember, if I remember the story correctly, she got saved milking the cow in Georgia, listening to the radio, Billy Sunday on the radio. She stood up in the old building over there, right in front of where Dionys and Tanya are sitting, and she used to stand up and give a testimony once in a while on Sunday night church, and she used to say this, so I was Baptist born and Baptist bred, and when I die, I'll be Baptist dead. she stood up another time and she said, she was telling the time where she got saved, listening to the radio. If you ever hear Billy Sunday, no, he's a Presbyterian. He was a Presbyterian, great preacher. And he was a fireball of a preacher. If you ever read about Billy Sunday, they hated him because he used to preach. I mean, preached. And saloons used to close down when he came into town. She stood up and said one time, probably one of the greatest compliments I've ever had in my life. She said, I listened to Billy Sunday on the radio. And she said before, just as she sat down, she said, you sound just like him. Amen. You may not appreciate everything I'm going to say this morning. And I understand that because of the society that you live in today. I dare say this, and I believe this to be true. We've probably had more sermons preached behind our pulpits from black preachers than all the white so-called Bible-believing churches combined in this Capital District area. Now, you think about that statement I just said. I think one time we're going to have just Black Week and have all the black preachers who preach here before come and preach all week long. Amen? Yeah. I love when Brother Irwin goes street preaching with me because white people don't know what to do with a black preacher on a street corner. Amen? They, you know, white preachers are full of hate, but when they see Brother Irwin next to me preaching the same thing, it happened downtown Troy a couple months ago. The store owner, she just got out real mad, you know, had to be a woman, you know, white woman. She just huff and puff and just turned around and went back, you know. She didn't know what to say to Irwin, you know. But maybe we will have a black week, a revival, just black preachers preaching, maybe the ones that preached here before and other new ones, I don't know. So you're not going to be able truthfully and honestly to say that we hate black people. You're going to say that maybe, and people do say that, but they can't say it honestly. Because I personally believe black people, generally speaking, are more empathetic to hearing the gospel than white people are. They have more reverence to the things of God and Bible, and they'll be willing to listen more than white people are. I'm just telling you, I've learned that from experience, 32 years being here. Now, sadly, their leaders have destroyed them. Sadly, the black leaders and religious leaders, Jesse Jackson is a liar. He used to spit in the soup of white people before he served it with a smile. Search it. Al Sharpton's a liar. Michael King was his real name. Martin Luther King was a liar. Did not believe the virgin birth. Did not believe the Son of God. Jesus was the Son of God. Did not believe in the creation of Genesis. But you make him to be your God and you worship him instead of Jesus Christ. Amen. So you get mad at me because I tell you the truth about the charlatans who masquerade as religious leaders. I'm not saying this is the only test, but one of the tests I gauge is that there are probably 4% of the black people have brains that think and use because 4% of the black people did not vote for Obama. If you voted for Obama, that's because your head was in the sewer, you're selfish, you're a socialist, and you want to destroy this country of capitalism, and you want something for free. You want somebody to take it from somebody else who has it and give it to you because you're too stinking lazy to get a job and be responsible. And so you just lash out at people who have something that you haven't been willing to work for. I grew up in a town, in a city that was 85% black. I learned how to play basketball real good. When I was 5'1", 5 foot tall, I was able to jump and touch the rim when I was 5 foot tall. I can't even come close to a foot or a foot and a half now. I'm shrinking as I'm getting older now. I'm getting closer to 5'1" again, amen. I'm just saying, I learned how to play basketball real good. I was the fastest man on the track team in my grade. They put me as a third man on the high jump. I mean, the other guys were like almost 6 foot tall. They put me because I could jump and clear 5'1" hurdle at 5 foot tall. I learned that because I hung around black kids. Learned how to play ball. Learned how to run real fast. So they were running for the cops probably, but... I learned how to run. I learned how to fight. I learned how to have, you know, most of my friends were black growing up. Now, where we lived, it was like as it was back then, you know, 60 years ago. We lived in a white enclave surrounded by black neighborhoods, you know, because back then white people hung around whites and blacks hung around blacks. And sort of like today, you know, willingly they choose that, most of them. But so you're not going to tell me that I don't know what it is to live in a black neighborhood. You're not going to be able to tell me. He says, you don't know what my, you don't know what it is growing up in the slums or in a ghetto or in a bad neighborhood with people with guns that used to be across the street and the cops coming and having a shootout in front of my own house and the kids, the black kids throwing rocks over the backyard garages and coming landing in the backyard. I remember my dad going out in the back and catching one of the kids. He caught one of the kids, pulled him into the backyard. He'd be arrested for it today. But he pulled him and said, I'm not letting you go unless you bring his father here. And finally, the other kids brought the black man's father, the black boy's father there. And my dad tried to have a civil conversation about the boy throwing rocks into our yard. And the father said, well, weren't you a kid either and used to throw rocks too? Now, that's the kind of sense that black people have today, because that's what you've been shoveled by Jesse Jerkson, Al Sharpton, and Michael King Jr., who's a liar. So here's what you do. You believe all these lies from Louis Farrakhan and hate white people and think you deserve everything that white people have worked for because you were slaves for 200, 300 years. Well, I have news for you. Greeks were slaves for 400 years under the Ottoman Empire. Are you listening to me? Now, I don't go ask for reparation from the Turkish government saying, well, you know, you had us for slaves for 400 years. And I don't get upset when I go to the UN or through, I look at some international gathering and the Turkish flag is flying by. I don't get it, man, because that's their flag. Why does it rile you up when you see the Confederate flag? I'll tell you why, because your leaders have caused you to err and your leaders have caused you to destroy yourself. If you stop drinking that liquor and that wine, that strong drink, and stop smoking your weed, maybe you get some clarity in your thinking and you'd act right and you'd act civil instead of like a bunch of savages. Amen. I preached this way starting 32 years ago. I ain't planning on quitting. Amen. I'm not stopping my preaching because we live in a black area or a welfare city. You can go plenty other black churches you want. You can go to any other white churches you want. But we ain't changing the word of God because we have too many Greeks or too many Jews or too many blacks. Blessed be God. I remember years ago we had a sodomite come in, and you know, I can deal with one sodomite because, you know, they don't know, they're messed up in the lifestyle or something like that. You know, I'd be patient. You know, when the second or third one showed up, I just changed my whole sermon. All I preached was on sodomites, man, for 2-3 weeks in a row until they all left. If you want to come, you're welcome to come. As long as you don't make a ruckus, as long as you make a fight, as long as you don't disturb anything, you pay attention to what I got to say, you're more than welcome to come. But Americans have been deceived, and listen to me good, you're cool because you're acting like a bunch of blacks coming from the jungles of Africa and Caribbean and Egypt, and you're listening to their music that's destroyed you. That's why you like your rock and roll. That's why you like your country music with the metal twang. Yeah, you know where that comes from? Straight from Africa, straight from Egypt, straight from Caribbean. And it's ruined American society. One of the first things to go in any nation is their music. The first thing to go in your life, the first thing to go in the church's life is usually the music. That's why you don't like the music. It's not moving enough for me, Pastor. It's not emotional. Yeah, you want to go back in the jungles of Africa and dance to the jungle beat like they did and just let your body just jiggle and move like a bunch of wild natives. Something wrong when you see white people on the dance floor dance like a bunch of Africans to a beat in an African jungle. And you wonder, what's wrong with America, Pastor? It's not the Democrats or Republicans. No, it's not the conservatives or the liberals. No, it's a theological problem. It's a religious problem. You're so far away from the Bible, you don't know the truth. And then when the truth hits you smack in the face, you say, oh, that can't possibly be true. God isn't racist, is he? What's your definition of racist? Do you realize your grandfather was probably a racist? Do you hear what I just said? Your great-grandfather for sure was probably a racist because he probably believed that the races should be separate. There's nothing wrong with black people marrying blacks or whites marrying whites or Greeks marrying Greeks or Nigerians marrying Nigerians. There's nothing wrong with that. But if that's a racist, that's a bad term today. When's the last time you looked up the word bigot in a dictionary? And it's somebody who holds a strong religious p- point on some strong religious dogma. But you know what? You've swallowed hook, line, and sinker. You're afraid to be called a racist. You're afraid to be called a bigot. You're afraid to be called homophobic. You're afraid to be called all these kinds of names because you're not even reading the Bible. I don't know why people are upset at me. Do you? I can't figure it out. Great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. Take your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter number 9. Genesis chapter number 9, first book in the Bible. Jesus said, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. I remember my mom used to take us shopping down in South Philly, 9th Street there. You know, if you ever seen the movie Rocky, he's running down. That's 9th Street where he's Rocky running and stuff like that. We used to go shopping down there. And I remember one time, I can't remember how old I was. I'm telling you, I was 5, 6, or 7 years old. We were waiting in line, Italian market. And, you know, where all the guineas used to go, the wops. And so we were waiting in line. This fellow in front of us, he must have been 300, 350 pounds, black guy. He had shopping cart after shopping cart filled with meats. And he was paying with colored money. Figures, he was a colored man paying with colored money, you know. And so when he was done, my mom was next. And she, in broken English, she asked the person, the clerk, she says, what kind of money is that? And for the first time in her life, she found out about food stamps. Well, I heard it for the rest of my life. I heard how evil and wicked food stamps and welfare was for the rest of my life. Let me tell you something. There are no poor people in America. Poor people are in third world countries. In America, there's gamblers, there's dope heads, there's drunks, there's people that are lazy. There's people that make excuses why they can't do what God commands them to do. There are no poor people in America. Now, there might be some disabled people who can't physically work and get a job. I understand that part. Those are disabled people. There are no poor people in America. If you got two good hands and two good feet and two good eyes, get yourself a job and get off the dole. Amen. You've been letting some black preacher, I shouldn't even say that, black reverend lie to you. Because they're preaching and teaching and pushing a social gospel that has nothing to do with people getting born again. They want to change society to fit their laziness. Genesis chapter number 9. Noah had three boys, Japheth, Shem, and Ham. Ham, for 4,000 years, has always been known as the father of black people. It's the land of Ham is Africa's in the land of Ham. We'll go over that tonight and tomorrow and Wednesday night Bible study. I mean, you got to read your Bible, okay? God cursed Ham. In Genesis chapter number 9, starting in verse number, verse number 20, verse number 18. Genesis chapter number 9, verse number 18. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth. Now, if you don't know your population disbursement, Shem is, by the way, Jesus was a Shemite. He wasn't white. He wasn't Caucasian. Regardless of what you have heard, in the Bible, Jesus was not Caucasian. Shem, the children of Shem, the Shemites, are the Eastern, like China, Japan, okay? Japheth are the Caucasians that went to Europe. The Hamites went to Africa. And through those three races, everybody else has been either mixed or purebred, however close to purebred you think you might be, okay? So everybody else is a mixture of those three races, those three that came from Noah. Look at what it says in verse 18 again. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Ham is the father of Canaan. You know the land of Canaan, okay? Verse number 19. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. Well, you know what happens to grapes when they ferment? And you squash them with your feet? and you let him sit in a tub, in a barrel, and it becomes alcohol, well, that's what happened to Noah. Noah got drunk. And verse number 21, he drank of the wine and was drunken, and watch this, he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, that's Noah's son, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth, now Shem, again, is the eastern people, Chinese, Japanese. Japheth is your Caucasians from Europe. They took a garment and laid it upon their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew, watch the phrase in this verse, what his younger son had, what's it say? Done. Didn't say saw. Done unto him. Do you know Sodom and Gomorrah, they were black people? Do you know the Philistines were black? Do you know Goliath was black? Do you know Nineveh was black? The greatest revival in the history of mankind, ever recorded, was 120,000 black people in Nineveh that were saved. If you look at the book of Jonah, a white Shemite, Jewish boy, disobeyed God and ran from God because God told him to go to Nineveh, 120,000 black people, and preach to them. The disobedient Jewish boy went the opposite way, just like most white people don't want to go into black neighborhoods and preach the gospel to them. You'd rather live in the country, go fishing and hunting instead of go soul winning. That's all right, Jonah. God will catch up to you one day. You can run from God. You ain't hiding. So all these people in their nice neighborhoods, in their rich neighborhoods, in the countryside, they're criticizing black America in the neighborhoods. Well, how about you go and knock on their door and tell them about Jesus and bring them to church, let them hear the truth, instead of living the rest of your life a selfish, self-centered life. I'm not going to shirk the truth because we got black people we got to reach. And Pastor, you're going to offend some black person. No, we ought to wake up and smell the coffee, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, I'm Greek. You heard what Jesus said about the Greeks. You saw what Jesus said about the Jews. You're going to hear a whole mouthful tonight of what God said about the blacks tonight and Wednesday night. And you either going to believe God or you're going to believe Martin Luther King Jr., who is a liar and a plagiarist and an adulterer and a drunk. You're either going to believe Jesus or you're going to believe a liar. And the leaders of this people have caused them to err. I'm not angry at anybody except Satan, because he's deceived too many people. And everybody's afraid to preach the truth and stand for the truth. Look, we started with five people. We can end up with five people too. Don't matter to me. People are always shocked when they come visit our church, especially if they hear something I said or go online, they hear a sermon. They come, they're shocked when black people are in our church. They're like black people don't have brains. They can think for themselves and believe in Jesus and the Word of God instead of the charlatans who masquerade and line their pockets. Please tell me where Jesse Jerkson is a pastor at. Tell me what reverend church he runs. Can you figure that one out? And the only reason he got ordained because they put his son on the ordination team to ordain Jesse Jerkson. He doesn't know. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you how dangerous, how evil Jesse Jackson is. This is what I've read, and I believe this to be true. Years ago, his mother was an unwed single mom sitting on the front stoop thinking about having an abortion. Some man walking down the street is Chicago. He's from Chicago. You know, the same town that Jesse Smollett is from and where he's at and the other, you know, charlatans are at. And some man came by and talked her out of having an abortion, and she gave birth to Jesse Jackson. And he was always against abortion until he started running for president because he wanted money from the abortion crowd. So he changed his position. Even though his mother spared his own life, he's willing to have babies killed for money and for political reasons. That's like my Greek relatives getting upset at me because I wouldn't vote for the Greek Massachusetts governor, Michael Dukakis. I said, I ain't voting for some guy who believes I'm killing babies. I don't care if he's Greek or not. But you get mad when somebody says something about black preachers or black reverends or black politicians. Noah knew what his younger son had done unto him. Doesn't say what he saw, what he had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. Wow. All you have to do is look at history, and blacks have been servants everywhere, slaves everywhere. You know why? Because God said so. That land of darkness that people want to make. Yeah, here's the thing. I never heard a white person call themselves a European American. Greek American, Italian American, Polack American, you know, Indian American. Why is it an African American? I thought it's different nations. You know why? Because they clump them all together. Because the land of Ham is Africa in the Bible. It's a land of darkness. And you would think after 5,000 years, 4,000 years here, it's 4,000 years now, you would think some great kingdom would come out of Africa. Now you think Egypt has a great kingdom? Ladies and gentlemen, it's the land of darkness, and Egypt is a picture of the world, and the best thing God says is to leave Egypt through the Red Sea and go into the promised land, man. But you know what America does? We're going right back. That's why you dress like, I remember walking home one time, and I look, most of my friends were black, I'm telling you. I used to come home one time, I was bebopping down the street. My dad says, walk straight. I didn't know I wasn't walking straight. I was bebopping like my black friends. The next time, without thinking, I was bebopping down the street, my dad kicked me in the rear end as hard as he could. He said, I said, don't walk like that. I said, okay. Why can't you walk normal like a man? Why do you got to swing like a monkey when you're walking down the street like this and spreading your gait, G-A-I-T, and act like you're hot stuff, huh? Why can't you walk normal? I'll tell you why, because you've been cursed of God. And the day you realize you've been cursed of God is the day you can wake up. The day you've been cursed, the day you understand that God Almighty has cursed the black race, the sooner you can start living right. 120,000 people in Nineveh got saved, the greatest recorded revival in history. Except for the second one. I remember 25 years ago now, I was going home. We lived in Petersburg then. I was going home from work. I can't remember if I was working Poughkeepsie then or something like that, going out to Conic, but I was coming home, and just like I was listening to a conversation, I was listening to communist radio, NPR, and they were interviewing a black sodomite who was, I want to say, a ballerina dancer. I can't remember the names right now. This is 25 years ago. And you could just tell he's a sodomite, a queer, a faggot. You can tell by the way they lisp, you know, they talk, you know. And this interviewer was asking this black guy on the radio, says, well, I understand that your grandmother was pretty upset when you came out or something like that. Can you tell us a little bit about that? And here's what the black guy said. And I'm paraphrasing because from my memory, 25 years ago, this is what the black man said to a white interviewer. He said to his grandmother, he said, why do you believe that white man's religion? White man enslaved us and forced us to believe in Jesus Christ. And he went on and on, being derogatory toward the white people who forced religion down the blacks' throats when they were slaves and they didn't know any better. This is what he said that his grandmother said. She said this, if it took the white man to come to Africa to bring us here as slaves, to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ to get saved, it was well worth it. Let me just repeat that. See, your problem is you've been listening to the wrong crowd. You see, you don't love Jesus. You love Michael King, who's a liar. They can't even release his records because it's so embarrassing. He said, his grandmother said, if it took the white man, and it wasn't the whites, the Arabians started the slave trade, by the way. She said, if it took the white man to come to Africa, to bring us here as slaves to listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ, she said it was well worth it. But you're stuck in a mentality of hating everybody because your people have sold you down the river. And you don't want to get a job because you're too stinking lazy. You got to go. There's a lot more I'm going to say tonight. You I'm telling you right now, you better not show up. If you can't take this thought, you don't show up tonight. We're so thin-skinned. Let me just say another thing. As you can tell, I'm going off right here. I'm not even reading my notes, man. I'm 61 years old. I've never one time in my life called anybody a nigger. Not one time. Of course, those people who call themselves niggas do it all the time, but get mad when a white person calls a black person a nigger. You know how stupid that is? So you're okay with a black person calling a brother nigger in their songs, in their conversation, all the time, because the land of Nigeria is spelled the exact same way. But you're upset when a white person says something like that about or to a black person? You know, you're too thin-skinned. Now, again, just out of trying to win blacks to Jesus and trying to win them to the Lord, I try to be very careful about my language. But I think we're all adults here this morning, aren't we? I think all of us have heard those words at one time or another, haven't we? I know I did growing up. And I purposely don't try to use it. And I haven't called anybody that, but I'm not afraid to use the words, as you can tell. I don't like when they make black jokes. Well, I don't like when they make Greek jokes. You're too thin-skinned, man. You get mad when somebody laughs at you or makes fun of you now you can't paint your face black. Do you know how stupid that is? People are making a bigger thing about painting their faces black instead of killing babies before they're born. And by the way, the founder of Planned Parenthood hated black people and wanted to euthanize black people and just kill them off. Forget her name right now, but yes, Margaret Sanger. She hated black people. And she wanted less black people, and that's why she pushed abortion that your black leaders are pushing in your own neighborhoods. And you have a white preacher preaching about it, then you get mad at the white preacher. There's a disconnect somewhere, ladies and gentlemen. And the disconnect is you don't love Jesus. Verse 25, you say, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem. By the way, you don't like to hear this here, but I'm going to say it anyway. Go on, search online the three highest highest to the lowest IQs. And you'll find that the Shemites, Asians, North Asians, China, Japan, have the highest IQs in the world. Should I be mad at that because Caucasians don't? Blacks have one of the lowest. Just look at it. Just search it and look it up. History proves that God cursed the blacks. And until you get right with God, until you get right with the Word of God, you'll be cursed for the rest of your life. And your children will be cursed. You're listening to their music. It's a shock to you when I didn't know who this rap singer was until he got arrested. But you know what's sad? Most of the kids that come to junior church and Sunday school ride the bus here, they probably know these singers and they emulate them, they follow them, they like them, they follow them on Twitter, but you don't want to follow Jesus Christ. Then you get mad with the white preacher trying to reach black kids and trying to save them from the ghetto and save them from their own selves. That's right, somebody will listen to me. Somebody will appreciate this. Some Greek will say, thank God I got saved. Amen. Some Jew will say, man, that's right. And some black will say, glory be to God. There's a preacher who cares about us. Amen. Now, for instance, and maybe it's just me. You know, everybody has their own opinions. But I don't think any preacher can preach eloquently. And I shouldn't say eloquently. But I love the sound of a black preacher. Amen. I like spirituals. They're my favorite. There's nothing like hearing Brother Barnett preach a sermon. Amen. We might get Brother Barnett and the others here again just to preach for, just have a week of black preaching, amen. Brother Barnett tells a story. He was asked to preach in a black church. Oh, they didn't know what he was getting. They didn't know what they were getting. They were going to get a regular black reverend. He said, I saw a preacher. It was like light going on the bunch of rats. like rats scattering when the light came on. They're all going in the corners and leaving, you know, while he's in the middle of preaching in a black church. Because some black preachers have enough courage to tell the truth, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe black preachers, some black preachers are concerned about their own black people, that the black leaders have sold down the tubes for money. The love of money is the root of all evil. Well, the vast majority of black people are, illiterate, but they're taking their dope, they're drinking their liquor, they don't have jobs, they're broken homes, kids are growing up in fatherless homes. These leaders are lining their pockets with money, using you, using black people as a gimmick for them to make some money. My mom used to call them termites. Everywhere they went, they destroyed everything. See, that's not nice, Pastor. The truth hurts. My mom used to tell me all the time, she said, a can of paint doesn't cost much. Why can't you get a can of paint and just paint the house? Because you've been taught to live like a bunch of natives in the land of Africa, in America. The biggest revival in American history was when the blacks got saved. Of course, it's not recorded because white men recorded the history. They didn't want to say much about it. But you know what? You look at the history of black America before Martin Luther King came on the scene, and you'll find a different, listen to me good, a different group of people than you will have today. Listen to this. Walter Alexander, born 1880, the first African American to serve in the New Jersey legislature. Richard Allen, born 1830, a member of the Texas House of Representatives. James Ames, born 1864, representative in the Michigan House of Representatives. And I'm only naming about one out of four of every five on this list I have here. Caesar Antoine, born 1836, 13th Lieutenant Governor of Louisiana. These are all black people. All of them Republican, by the way. Is that a shock? Is that a shock? And look, you know how much I hate the Republican Party. Amen. But the Democrat Party is the anti-Christian party. Amen. When you vote for a Democrat, you're voting for the anti-Christian party in America. Alexander Asbury, born 1861, member of the Texas House of Representatives. Edward Brooke was the first African-American popularly elected to the United States Senate. Hiram Revels was the first black U.S. senator. However, he was elected to office by a legislature before they had popular voting then. Thomas Beck, born 1819, member of the Texas House of Representatives. Edward David Bland, born 1848, member of the Virginia House of Delegates. Edward Brooke, 1919, U.S. Senator from Massachusetts, the first African-American elected by popular vote to the U.S. Senate. Blanche Bruce, born 1841, U.S. Senator from Mississippi, first African-American to serve a full term in the U.S. Senate. 1841 he was born, in the South! Why don't you read history? Why don't you get your head screwed on right and stop hating white people? It's not their fault they're rich and made a living because you've been drinking your liquor and smoking your pot and not getting a job. Why don't you look up to Herman Cain? Huh? Richard Cain, born 1825, was a U.S. representative from South Carolina. William Owen Bush, born 1832, member of the Washington State Legislature. Walter Moses Burton, born 1840, member of the Texas State Senate. Archibald Carey, born 1908, appointed by President Dwight D. Eisenhower as a chair of his committee to reduce racial discrimination. George Washington Carver, born 1860, an inventor. Why don't you invent something? You can't, because your leaders have destroyed you. They've caused you to err. Julius Caesar Chapel, however you pronounce it, born 1852, a legislator from the Massachusetts House of Representatives. Henry Cheatham, born 1857, U.S. Representative from North Carolina. Walter Cohen, born 1860, leader of the Black and Tan Republicans. I got news for you. You know what the NAACP means? You know what it stands for? National Association of Colored People. Can you imagine if we had the National Association of White People? How about the National Association of Greek People? Wouldn't that be great? Do you understand how reverse discrimination has been applied? Because here's what the black leaders are saying. We need affirmative action because black people are too stupid to get jobs on their own and need somebody to hire more blacks. What they're saying is that you're too stupid to get a job. And you believe that junk. Well, same thing with women. But the Bible says women are the weaker vessel. Except when it comes to military, how come they don't allow the women to do the same amount of push-ups and run the same mileage that the men do, but getting paid the same, you know, equal work, equal pay, except when it comes to women. The leader of the Black and Tan Republicans. That's pretty funny, I thought. Abram Colby, born in the 1800s, representative in the Georgia House of Representatives. William Thaddeus Coleman, 4th United States Secretary of Transportation, the first African-American Supreme Court clerk. Norris Wright Cooney, born 1846, chairman of the Texas Republican Party. I know they're all Uncle Toms, or all of these are Uncle Toms, aren't they? Oh, they're not really black. No, that's because they think for themselves. They didn't buy the lies of Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and Michael King, who's a fake, phony, and fraud, that the vast majority of black people did. Hey, I didn't like preaching against the Greeks either. But it's part of the Bible. How about Frederick Douglass, born 1818? I mean, these are people you ought to look up to. Now we're looking up to hip-hop stars and whoremongers and whores in Hollywood and sodomites. Antoine Dubuclay, born 1810, state treasurer of Louisiana. Oscar Dunn, born 1826, 11th lieutenant governor of Louisiana. Edward Duplex, born 1831, mayor of Wheatland, California. Why don't you listen to Larry Elder on the radio? He's pretty funny. He's a black guy. He's intelligent. He says the truth. But he's conservative, and he's not going along with Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton and Michael King Jr. So, you know, when they made the Black History, and by the way, it is Black History Month, okay? When they made that thing at the Smithsonian Institute for Black History, and they made all the bunch of exhibits during the things in the Smithsonian Institute, you know who they left out? Clarence Thomas, black Supreme Court justice. And only about a year or two did they put him in because of the big upheaval and people were saying you left out a black Supreme Court judge. You know why? Because Clarence Thomas can think on his own. But he's an Uncle Tom. Okay. Well, why don't you look up the statistics for black people, unwed mothers, the abortion rate, unemployment, the jail population, the percentage of the black people who commit crimes, black on white crime, black on black crimes. Samuel Fuller, born 1905, founder and president of the Fuller Products Company, publisher of the New York Age and Pittsburgh Courier, head of the Southside Chicago NAACP, president of the National Negro Business League, and a prominent black Republican. Why don't you open up a job? Why don't you open up a business and go work for yourself? Maybe God will bless you. Matthew Gaines, 1840, born, a community leader, minister, and Republican Texas state senator. Jonathan Clarkson Gibbs, born 1821, Secretary of the State of Florida and Florida Superintendent of Public Instruction. James Golden is the producer on the Rush Limbaugh radio talk show. I never knew that. Archibald Grimke, born 1849, an American lawyer, diplomat, national vice president of NAACP. A.C. Hamlin, born 1881, member of the Oklahoma House of Representatives. Jeremiah Harrelson, born 1846, U.S. Representative from Alabama. James Harris, born 1828, member of both the North Carolina House of Representatives and North Carolina Senate. Lewis Hayden, born 1811, elected to the Massachusetts state legislature. These are all Republicans! Oh, gasp! These are racist people, Uncle Toms, who had some sense about them, didn't care what everybody else said. And God blessed them because God's promised to bless the curse if you're willing to let him do it. But you want to listen to the music of African drum beats. You want to get undressed on a disco floor, on a dance floor like the African jungle bunnies in Africa, and shake your rear end like a bunch of natives bouncing to a beat and a drum in Africa. And you think God's going to bless that. Perry Wilburn Howard, born 1877, attorney from Mississippi and delegate to the RNC from 1912 to 1960. James Adams Hyman, born 1840, U.S. Representative from North Carolina. Edward Johnson, 1860, he was born, member of the New York State Assembly. James Weldon Johnson, born 1871, first black manager of the NAACP, president of the Colored Republican Club. Peter K. Jones, born 1834, member of the Virginia House of Delegates. Scipio Africanus Jones, born 1863, Arkansas delegate to the Republican National Convention. Charles Henry Langston, born 1817, abolitionist and a political activist. John Mercer Langston, born 1829, U.S. Representative from Virginia. Jefferson Franklin Long, born 1836, U.S. Representative from Georgia. Again, I'm only reading one out of three or one every five of them. John Roy Lynch, born 1847, U.S. Representative from Mississippi. I know Greeks are cursed, but I want God to bless his Greek. Yeah, I don't care what the rest of the Greeks say. I care what God says. I care what Jesus says. You care what Jesus says? You care more about that fake, phony fraud, Martin Luther King Jr., who has deceived the black people and ruined America. Ernest Lyon, born 1860, Methodist clergyman, former United States ambassador to Liberia and founder of the Maryland Industrial and Agriculture Institute for Colored Youths. Edward McCabe, born 1850, treasurer of Logan County, Oklahoma. I didn't know they had black people back there in Oklahoma, Kansas, and Mississippi, Pastor. Or maybe Mississippi, but not out west. Yeah, there are people with brains, don't worry. You know what? Black people in our church have more courage than most of you white people. They sit here and take this kind of preaching and teaching. Yeah. You can't even tithe and go soul winning. You can't even come to church all the time. Yeah. I wonder why God's blessing some of these black people. He ain't blessing you. Huh? Clement G. Morgan, born 1859, Boston attorney, civil rights activist, and city official. Walthall Moore, born 1886, first African-American to serve in the Missouri State Legislature. Robert Moore, member of the Texas House of Representatives, born 1844. Thomas Ezekiel Miller, born 1849, U.S. Representative from South Carolina. You know that racist state, South Carolina. That there's a United States senator, black senator from South Carolina today who's Republican. Another, you know, Uncle Tom, obviously, because he doesn't go along with Martin Luther King's philosophy. Charles Edmund Nash, born 1844, U.S. Representative from Louisiana. James E. O'Hara, born 1844, Congressman from North Carolina. Jesse Owens, the great Jesse Owens, the athlete. Pio Pico, born 1801, the last governor of Mexican California, formed the Republican Party in California. Can you imagine a black man formed the Republican Party in California? Why don't you get a history book out and read it? Why don't you get your Bible out and read it? You don't want to come tonight if you don't like this, son. If you don't like it this morning, I suggest you not coming tonight. You're going to die of a high blood pressure. You're going to die of a heart attack. That's why some of you think some of these songs are too boring. You know why? Because you've been too Africanized, and you want something with the beat to go like this. Because you've been watching too many charismatic Pentecostal shows. This will be good. And you want to be in the spirit and the movement. Oh, it's just too dead and boring here, Pastor. Because you've been Africanized instead of Christianized. Is this on today? Is this working this morning? PBS, Pinchback, born 1837, 24th governor of Louisiana, first African-American governor of a U.S. state, a Republican. These are all Republicans. And you know I despise the Republican Party. Joseph Rainey, born 1832, U.S. representative from South Carolina, first African-American to serve in the U.S. House of Representatives. Benjamin Randolph, 1820, state senator in the South Carolina State Senate. Oliver Randolph, born 1882, second African-American elected to the New Jersey legislature. James Rapier, born 1837, U.S. representative from Alabama. Hiram Rhodes Revels, born 1827, U.S. senator from Mississippi, first African-American to serve in the U.S. Senate. Matthew Ricketts, born 1858, member of the Nebraska House of Representatives. Frederick Madison Roberts, born 1879, first African-American in the California State Assembly. And the list goes on and on. I'm only up to the R's or the T's. The leaders of this people caused them to err. And they that are led of them are destroyed. Jesus said, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, this is just a tip of the black ice that we're talking about. My prayer, dear God, is folks would wake up, white people and black people. The problem we have in America is a lack of the gospel, the lack of Bible knowledge that we used to have in this country. Regardless what denomination, regardless what the race, regardless of the ethnicity, people literally cared about each other and loved each other because they loved God. They loved the Word of God. Today, you have been taken out of schools, out of churches, and out of homes, and now we have race riots since the 60s when these black leaders have caused black people to be destroyed. My prayer is this morning, if anybody in this room is not saved, that they'll get saved this morning. My prayer this morning is, if they're saved, they've not been baptized, that they'll come forward and get baptized this morning. Whatever the need is this morning, help people to get right this morning, dear God, and face the truth and love the truth. Lord, you said the truth will make us free. Bless this invitation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever your need is, you come and do business with God.